This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
City dial 888-808-1019, fresh off the Knicks game in overtime at Madison Square Garden. The New York Knicks hang tough, but you can't hang a banner for hanging tough. They lose to the Celtics 119-117, and should we take the glass half empty approach or the glass half full approach? Let's take the glass half full approach. I think we have to take the glass half full approach, right? Because we're approaching the playoffs. Playoffs, yeah. And it seems inevitable that these two Eastern Conference rivals will see each other again. And it's just tough, man. That was, you know, like, there's no way to feel good about a loss, but, like, that was a tough loss that you feel better about? I don't know how to put it into words. 888-808-1019. Maybe you can help me find the words to articulate it. You know, you get your guys back and you go up against Jason Tatum and Kristaps Porzingis. And, you know, Porzingis out there looking like he came from the Fight Club. Tatum, just like there's no real answer for the guy. Mikal Bridges can't check him. Mikal, bro, that turnover. I mean, so many things. OG kind of stopped him for a little bit late. Don't let him shoot the three. You got to foul him. He just missed the free throw the last time. You know, we'll take the glass half full approach and say, if they got into a series, maybe a couple of those games go the Knicks' way. But, you know, the Knicks are not beating the allegations about not being able to beat the top teams. You know, 0-8. Against top teams, 0-9, I think, now against the top teams. And the Knicks are not beating allegations of, hey, like, you can't match up with the Celtics. And that's the thing about the Celtics. And how terrible is Reggie Miller on the call? The glazing is out of control. At one point late in the game, he was like, oh, this is like child abuse. I'm like, this is nothing like child abuse, Reggie. What are you talking about? Oh, they've got so many weapons. They do. They do. 888-808-1019. But what I'll say is you've seen some growth with this Knicks team. You've seen this Knicks team evolve a little bit with Brunson not being there and guys having to emerge and step up. And that kind of gave you confidence that, okay, and like Brunson is just getting back, but it gave you confidence that, like, okay, we learned a lot about this group. We learned a lot about these guys, and maybe they'll be different this time around. And they were. An overtime loss that you had the lead late, battled. And there's just a couple little things. Karl Anthony Towns early in the game was having his way, getting what he wanted. Karl Anthony Towns early in the game looked like, you know, MVP, like we were talking about earlier in the year. He looked like the guy that you acquired, the guy that you want to be able to take over and be the difference in this matchup. I think in the first half, I had a clip from StatMuse. 21 minutes, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block. 9-13. But ultimately, it's Jason Tatum, man. If you don't have an answer for him, and it's not even like pick your poison. Jaylen Brown was on the bench for a lot of that at the end. It's not even pick your poison with those two. Porzingis, and it doesn't matter who they have running around, whether it's Derek White or Drew Holiday. How about Drew Holiday in the third quarter? He had all his points pretty much in the third quarter. And then even their bench, you know, guys like Sam Hauser, Luke Kornet, Peyton Pritchard, like they have a good team. They have a good, solid team. Those guys play well together, and there's no, you know, no wonder why they're the defending champs. And hey, if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So the Knicks got to find a way. I mean, obviously, one game at a time, one series at a time. But that was a little bit of a litmus test for like, okay, it's April now. Where are we now versus this team? Tatum goes out there, drops 32 points. Porzingis drops 34. He can't wait to come back to the Garden. Already mentioned Drew Holiday had 10 in the third. He had 16 overall. Derek White with 14. And then when you look at the Knicks, I mean, Mikal Bridges, you know what? It wasn't Mikal Bridges supposed to be the guy that's going to guard Tatum, stop Tatum? Tatum's shooting right over him. Mikal Bridges ends up with 14 points. And then Josh Hart. I mean, Josh Hart, some of those shots, buddy. 0 for 4 from 3. 0 for 4 from deep. I don't know. Let's take a call because we're fresh off the game. Like I said, you call me up and articulate what you saw, what you felt. Before we get to the phones, I'll look at some of the team stats, right? Because like, it was an overtime game. It was a bucket difference. It was very close. The biggest difference here, the Celtics shot much better from three, 10% better from three. They shot 38% to the Knicks 28%, 38.8, 28.9. Free throw percentage, they shot 80% from the charity stripe, the Knicks 62.5. The Knicks out-rebounded them by a lot, 52-38. Passed the ball about the same. Let me see the fouls. The Knicks had 21 fouls to their 17. Points in the paint, Knicks had 60 to their 30. I don't know. Let's play this as, like I said, glass half full optimism going into the playoffs that, hey, it is not a guarantee. The regular season is the regular season, right? The Celtics take all four games in the regular season. But, like, this one was not a blowout. This one was a contest all the way until the last possession. And you feel good about, you know, or not good, but you feel better about your chances if inevitably, you know, it is Celtics Knicks in the second round. 888-808-1019. Richie's in Queens on the fan. What's up, Richie? Richie.
Hey, I'm here, Keith. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. I didn't think you'd get to me that quick. I appreciate it. With the Knicks, I guess you can say it's a little progress. I've been counting for a while that, you know, the fact that they've been beat up so bad by OKC, Cleveland, Boston, it's like, wow, nobody gives them a shot at all, win the first round. And that's going to be a battle, whoever they play, because defensively they've got to get better, especially perimeter-wise. And they went to overtime. They played hard. I mean, then you wonder how much they're really Celtics and not looking to get hurt at this point. But I give them credit. The length kills them. I think, Keith, you know as well as I, when Porzingis is in there, it's really, really difficult for anybody as good as those guys are defensively. I don't know what's going to happen, but, hey, you played a game. They did win 52 games. I think it's a take on the Yankees. You're a little disturbed with them at all, or?
I wouldn't say I'm disturbed with the Yankees. Am I disappointed? Am I like, well, yeah, we'll get to it at some point. It's just, it's the second week of April. They're playing in freezing cold conditions in Detroit. I knew once they didn't get anything out of that first inning on Skubal, where you get the Paul Goldschmidt knock, the Ben Rice knock, Skubal's going to lock in. If you don't jump on him and make him pay, he retired like 15 in a row or something. I watched the game earlier and I took some notes on it. We'll talk about it, but ultimately I'm not that worried about the Yankees losing three in a row, losing their second series. It's early in the season. It's not as hot as they started, but that's baseball, Susan. Not Susan's brand of baseball, but that's baseball. You end up playing in Michigan in the early part of April. Yeah, it's freezing cold. They can't do the little things right.
And you know, the other day, real quick, you know, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and they had at one point three teams were 7-1, and Keith and Gary mentioned that they could, but nobody brought up the fact that the Giants don't play a Western their own division for 30 games. I hate the schedule. It is no excuse for at the end of the year that the Giants play Detroit or the Yankees play the Angels. It should be your last couple of games, like last two series should mean something in the division. So, go back to, it was 19, go back to 14 with the division games. Yeah, get the interleague in, which is fun to see. It wasn't like that when I was growing up. You only saw these teams in the World Series. But do you agree with that? I just don't like the fact 30 games before you play your own division. That's crazy.
It's just with the balanced scheduling. I think eventually we're going to see a shortened schedule. There's so much talk about these games, like the Mets game was moved, worked out for the Mets. I think eventually we're going to see baseball start closer to May, and there's going to be a shorter season, and we're also going to see realignment where like some of these issues will work themselves out. But I understand, I agree with you. We've watched baseball so long where it's like, look, like the Mets, how are the Mets playing two series in 2 weeks against a division opponent? But like you say, the Giants, which I don't know their schedule off the top of my head, they're going to go 30 games before they face anybody in the NL West.
By the way, Keith, I'll be there on Sunday because they're playing the Yankees. It's going to be a good matchup at this point if it stays Rodon against Webb. So I'll be at Yankee Stadium. Is it safe to wear my San Francisco Giant hat, or is that an issue?
Oh, you're good. You can wear every San Francisco Giant socks, shorts, hoodie, everything. No, you're good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward because the Yankees and the Giants growing up as a kid in the 50s, my God. I went to a couple of games with Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle. Let me tell you, being at the old stadium and also the Polo Ground, so that tells you how far I go back. But those games were incredible, and I'm looking forward to that. I think the Giants and the Yankees have had a little nice, little small rivalry through the years, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thanks for the call, Richie. Enjoy the game Sunday. I think I'm going Friday. It's going to rain. It's probably not going to be great conditions, but now that we're doing the Yankees, sprinkle the open with the Knicks coming off the loss. If you do want to talk Knicks, you want to get a thought in, if you feel some type of way about the coach, if you feel some type of way about the defense, if you feel some type of way about certain players on the Knicks and how they match up against the Celtics, dial 888-808-1019. But as far as the Yankees go, like I was saying, I can't get too upset about the Yankees being humbled in freezing temperatures with nobody in the ballpark. In a series that was supposed to be played at 6:40 and all of these games get moved. Like, I don't know. Is it disappointing? Hell yeah. But it's Carlos Carrasco versus the Cy Young winner. You know what I'm saying? It's like the writing is on the wall. I just said it to Richie. When that game starts and the Yankees seem to come out motivated after what they didn't do the day before and they waste back-to-back singles from Goldie and Rice, you have Scooble right there in a position where it's like you got to get at least a run across. They didn't, man. These guys look cold. They're all bundled up. Like when I say they're not doing the little things right, there's little mistakes that are happening, even with the umps. We'll talk about it, where it's just like they're out there in the freezing cold. Baseball is an outside game. It's not meant to be played in the freezing cold, but at the same time, I can't make excuses for them because when we get to the Fall Classic, what if you have to go somewhere? What if New York is freezing cold? And not for nothing, the Tigers were a postseason team last year. They won in the wild card, knocking off the Astros. I knew they weren't a slouch. I remember last week talking about, like, I got my eye on them before we play them. I knew they were going to play us tough. And, Carlos Carrasco, when you're looking at the Yankees rotation, that's where my biggest concern is right now. Not so much that they lost. They're going to lose games. They're going to lose series. And in those elements, you can kind of understand. But where I'm looking at the Yankees is their pitching. I'm looking at Marcus Stroman. I'm looking at Carlos Carrasco. I'm looking at Will Warren. I'm looking at a shaky Carlos Rodon who can't overcome, his shoelaces being untied. Like, Damn, do we miss Garrett Cole. 888-808-1019. And they're going to have to make a move for somebody else. They're going to have to accelerate Luis Gil's return. Because with the hitting and the torpedo bats and the history that was made, you kind of knew that that was just the hitting was ahead of the pitching. They have the best player in the game, the best hitter in the game. They have a deeper lineup. Guys got hot. You know, the bottom of the order, the best bottom of the order in baseball. You know, Trent Grisham is getting pitches to hit. You knew that that would kind of level out at some point. But when you go back to the starting pitching, like, not for nothing, I didn't mention Max Fried because Max Fried is Max Fried, but he's gotten the most run support out of any Yankee starting pitcher. 888-808-1019. Speaking of, you know, hitting, being ahead of the pitching, the conversation was flipped. It was the opposite with the Mets. Wow, look at, you know, Jeremy Hefner's pitching lab and David Stern's eye for talent. And look at the Mets pitching staff. Well, they showed a little bit of weakness out of the bullpen today, but what a day for Clay Holmes. It's funny, right? As I mentioned, Carlos Rodon, yesterday the whole thing with Rodon was like, oh, no, he threw the ball well, but you just got to take out one or two mistakes. And you know, we can't take out one or two mistakes for Carlos Rodon. If you take out one or two mistakes for Clay Holmes today, early in the game, some singles, walks, whatever, you know, letting the measly Marlins get on the board, Clay Holmes was excellent. Clay Holmes looked like what we saw in spring training. And, you know, how about Sanger? You know, the young catcher, the pride of Miami, Ohio. And I was listening to him postgame talk about we just went to the four seam. You know, Clay's got a lot of good breaking stuff. But sometimes you just got to throw the four seam into the zone and see if they could hit it on a cold, windy day. See if these guys are ready to play. And they weren't. Clay Holmes with a career-high 10 strikeouts, looking like the ace that a lot of Mets fans were talking about in March. 888-808-1019. The Mets go out there and handle business, and right away, you know, we can forget about the slow start for Lindor. That's done. Right away, again, I've been saying this all week, Lindor setting the tone. I was saying it last year. You want to talk about an MVP, how valuable of a player Lindor is? It's funny. You know, we questioned the contract. I did. Many of us, hosts on the station, fans listening, we questioned the contract. Like, that guy is worth every penny. And now that they're winning, and now that there are a lot of talented players, arms and position players, like, they don't even have most of their guys healthy. Like, they're missing a lot of guys. Like, I won't say most of the guys. They're missing a few key pieces. Like, the fact that I'm talking about Hayden Sanger, I didn't even know who he was a couple months ago. So, like, you know, they're waiting to get Alvarez back. You know, Luis Torrens is down. And we talk so much about the lineup not being, you know, what we expected. This top of the lineup is the best top of the lineup in baseball. They have one of the best lineups in baseball next to the Dodgers. Oh, and that's another thing, right? If the Yankees are cooked, then the Dodgers are cooked. If we're already disturbed about this, you know, the Yankees and what we're seeing from them, are Dodgers fans disturbed that they're losing to the Phillies and Nationals back-to-back? But yeah, let's get into it, man. 888-808-1019. I've got 3 hours. I'm going to talk about everything. There's a lot to unpack. My notes are 3 days long on the Knicks, on the Yankees, on the Mets. And I do want to get into some NFL draft stuff later because I feel like exactly what we're seeing with the news now as we get close to the draft is what happens every year. Smoke screens. And this and that and visits and pro days and this guy ate with this guy. And then ultimately it just goes back to drafting the position of need. So we'll get there for the Jets and the Giants. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You know the number to dial. I am on till 2 a.m. Let's talk sports. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.